I know that's what's happened to Nancy. I was looking forward to you, Nancy, but we'll catch you tonight, okay? So if you'd like to hear Nancy sing, you come back tonight, and she'll be ready. Sorry, there was something on my glasses there, and I had to get it off. I don't think I got it all off. Is that okay if I clean my glasses while I'm standing up here? I probably need one of those glass cleaners, but I'll do with it like it is right now. Would you have Chris run that up to me? It's okay to take a minute or two for something that's really real, isn't it? And it's really real that I need. Thank you, Chris. I tell you what, I don't know what I would do without Chris. He just, he reminds me of things that we need to do. He reminds me to get my car cleaned up and get it ready to take a ride. And he even asks, do you have gas in it? So I need old Chris around. So the rest of you will have to join in there and help him sometime, okay? Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, Brenda, lifesaver. Anybody else need to clean yours? Oh, you want to take it, Chris? There you go, buddy. Ask and you shall receive. Okay. If you have your Bibles, turn, if you will, to Acts chapter 7 and look at verse 57. Give you time to get there. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. That's a sad story, isn't it? That a man would be rejected so badly that they would just do away with him. That's what they did. They just threw him out like trash. Didn't want him anymore. Some of these might have been someone who had claimed him at one time, but not on this day. On this day, he was unclaimed. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Our God in heaven, we do thank you for this time in your word of reminding us of who we are and what we are in our humanity. Lord, I pray that you'll open our minds today to some realities that'll cause us to be better tomorrow than today. And we'll praise you for every prayer answered here today, because there's so many people who have needs and wants and in our lives, and I just pray, God, that those will be met, and when we leave here, we'll give you glory for everything. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I don't know if you all do it or not, but when I see something in the paper that says there's something unclaimed, y'all see those ads where there's money unclaimed from dead relatives or something, and there's somebody evidently in charge of looking that up and seeing what's happened to all this money. And I understand there are millions of dollars just laying in the coffers in the state and federal government where people have just died and gone on and didn't claim their money. I think, how sad. Why don't you send that to me? I'll claim it. Right? But there's a lot of unclaimed money. There's a lot of unclaimed properties that people just die and don't take care of it at the time, and it just goes over to the state, and it's unclaimed. I think that's a sad situation. But the thing that's sad to me more than that is that there are people who are unclaimed. Have you ever read some of those stories where older people are found dead and they can't find anybody who can identify them to be responsible for their bodies? Or just someone who has Alzheimer's or something, and they find them and they can't answer questions and nobody reports them missing. If nobody reports them missing, it's an unclaimed person. And that's sad. There are unclaimed children. Now that touches me more than anything, is that there is a child out there somewhere that is unclaimed. Unclaimed is just not wanted. Somebody knows something, but they're just unclaimed. There's responsibilities that are unclaimed. Now, I'm slowing down on that one because I know that one is not something you see on TV and it's not something you read in the paper, where we have responsibilities, but they're unclaimed. We're not laying claim to the responsibilities that God gives us. Those are just a few of the unclaimed situations that I knew you would be aware of. But I looked this one up, and I tell you what, never knew about this, but I know that there were many of them. Some of you served in the Vietnam War, and this was a story that came from that war. A Special Forces Green Beret Master Sergeant named John Hartley Robertson. You never knew of him or heard of him, did you? He was declared dead after being shot down over Laos. Now, as you know, that's not in Vietnam, so because it was a classified mission, and that might have been part of why he became an unclaimed person. This was in May 20th of 1968. After being kept in a bamboo cage, the American government didn't have any idea that he was alive. And so he was captured by the Vietnamese, and he was placed in a bamboo cage and tortured for over a year. And a Vietnamese woman had helped take care of him, and when the Vietnamese released him, he ended up with the person who helped him and eventually married her and assumed the identity of her dead husband. So you see how things can go awry. This is the story. In 2013, word had gotten around by some of the guys who were in the Vietnam War who knew him and evidently had talked to the right person, and they did a documentary on him and was trying to prove his identity. And you know, without knowing for sure, because now he's in his 70s. This was a young man in 68, but in 2013, he's in his 70s. And the story, I'm sure if we knew all the story, he just out of sight, out of mind. But they had to prove his identity, and to do that, they needed DNA. And here's the part of the story that gets a little sad. His wife and daughters had agreed to do DNA testing to prove that it was or was not her husband or their father. But at the last minute, they withdrew. And here was what was said about that. And somebody suggested this to the person who was doing the documentary, and it's part of that. Somebody suggested that the daughters decided not to do it because of their mother. They didn't want to take their mother through that since it had been so many years and they weren't sure what would come of it. So they said there's no use in bringing this back up. And the last words they said was, "We just want it to go away." Now, I know I'm trying to understand both sides of that. I don't think anybody should just be made to go away. But in their case, they were talking about the hurt of their mother, and they said, "We just want it to go away." But it didn't stop there. The unclaimed part didn't stop there with the family. He was never allowed to come home. The person he had married died, and he was over there by himself and actually didn't realize a whole lot because he had begun to speak Vietnamese and knew very little English over all those years. But as a government official put it, when they were trying to get him back home, they wouldn't just take him because they couldn't identify him. They said it's not that the Vietnamese won't let him come home. It's that our government don't want him. Now, I'm just giving you the story as it was in the documentary. And if that which was suggested is true and what was said, he was unclaimed. Now, we don't do that to our military men. We just don't do that. But I'm sure the government had some reason why they could not identify him and they didn't want him coming back here as the person he had assumed the identity of in Vietnam all those years before. But the end result was he was unclaimed. Wasn't needed. Well, our Bible is full of unclaimed people and unclaimed things. And I'm going to bring a few of those to you. And I don't believe that I have to say too much for you to understand that there was somebody who is very important to you. If you're saved today, there was somebody very important to you that was unclaimed. He was unclaimed at his birth because we know the Christmas story. We know that the Bible says there was no room. The only place they had for him was for Mary to have him in a stall or a stable with the animals. Now this was not, it was by design from heaven, folks. This is not something that we should blame the innkeeper for. I know people have done that in the past, but we shouldn't blame the innkeeper for that. This was a planned deal with God himself, that this would be the way he was to be an humble person where he would be born in this situation. But after he was born like this and then went to his home country, he was also there unclaimed because the Bible says they received him not. So if they didn't receive him, he was unclaimed. His own country demanded that he depart. Just go away. We're not going to claim you, so you can just go away. Now, that should sadden our hearts that was how that was, even knowing that God had a plan all along for us. Because we know also that when he was in Jerusalem, who should have taken him in and made him a part of them, they didn't do that either. Oh, there were people who loved him, but the whole of Jerusalem did not. They crucified him. They didn't lay claim to him. They nailed him to an old rugged cross. After beating him and crowning him with a crown of thorns, then they crucified him. He was unclaimed. I don't even like to see a dog that's unclaimed. Do you? I have a problem going to the animal shelter. I can't stand that. I want to take all those little dogs in there and just love them. I should say cats too, because they're there also, right? But anything that's unclaimed, that's not somebody doesn't lay claim to and say, "That's mine," or "I'll take care of that." And But they did our Savior that way. And we can't stand to see a dog or a cat or another animal that way. And we're just kind of numb to the fact that he was unclean from the time he was born through his life and to his crucifixion. He was unclean. That shouldn't have been, but it was. Even when he made a way for our salvation, that was largely unclaimed and is today also. I know that I laid claim to it. You laid claim to it. You laid claim to his salvation, his plan. I hope and pray that you did. I hope and pray that there's not a person in here today who would say that his plan for salvation, I have not claimed it, that it's unclaimed in my life. Because if it's an unclaimed situation, you have said, I choose not to repent of my sins and accept what he's got for me. That's how you unclaim him. You choose not to repent. And the Bible says you either repent or you perish. And if that's the truth, and we know that's the only way to salvation, and it is a truth, repent or perish, that's what he said. If we're not claiming the plan of salvation, then we're unclaiming it. There's not but two ways to go. You either claim it or unclaim it. There's not two ways to accept Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. You either claim him or you unclaim him, because he is. If we unclaim it, doesn't mean that it's not the truth. It is the truth. So we choose to claim or not claim the truth of the Word of God. So he is the Savior of the world. He does have a plan for our salvation, and we can accept that or not. And then after you get saved, there is another thing that you can either claim or unclaim, not claim. That is the way he told us to live according to the Word of God. We can live a life of separation where we deny ungodliness and we're filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what he says for us to do, that we live our lives doing that. Now, we can either claim that or not claim that, but it doesn't make it go away. It is still the truth. Unclaimed. So we're not talking about now land or money or persons. We're talking about something now that has to do with our eternal life. The other things, they'll touch every one of us. But these ought to touch us even deeper, that our Savior was unclaimed, and the plan that he had for us is largely unclaimed. Folks, we know that the Bible states that there are few who enter in at the straight gate. So largely, and I can't back up on that, largely, his plan for our salvation is unclaimed. And another thing is that God called men who stand and teach and preach the Word of God are also unclaimed, largely unclaimed. Now, I know that you who are in Tom's class like to hear good teaching, and you claim him as a good teacher. You claim what he teaches as the truth of the Word of God, and you can't wait to get here to get more of that truth. And same way with the preached word or the sung word. Any way we can get that word out, we either claim it or we don't. There were some men in the Bible that gives us a reason why men and women do not claim people who are teaching and preaching the Word of God. The Bible says that the love of many will wax cold. Now, when the love of many waxes cold, and that's the love for what God gave us in his Son, Jesus Christ, and his precious word that he gave us, when we wax cold, we don't care about that. So we're not claiming the Word of God. And if you don't claim the Word of God as the truth, as for my eternal life, then you're not going to claim the person who teaches and preaches it. In the last days, the Bible says, they shall not endure sound doctrine. And the reason that we don't want to claim the Word of God is that, as a people, is that we don't want to endure the sound doctrine. Now, endure the sound doctrine means that it's not going to be easy believism. It's not going to go along with what you want to believe, so there's going to be some endurance of the sound doctrine. The Bible says if we live righteously, what's going to happen? We'll be persecuted. Does that sound like that there's nothing there to endure? No, it is. So if we're going to endure sound doctrine, we've got to be ready to accept that. Now here are a couple of guys who, and here's what they preached in the Old Testament. When it came for time to tell a king one time, a king now, not just somebody out here on the street, but a king, that these people were responsible for what was happening in the kingdom. And here's a preacher who comes along and he says to the king, "Oh no, king, that's not the way it is. You're the man. You're the reason. You're the cause." And you see, when we preach the Word of God points the finger. I don't have to point a finger. The Word of God points a finger. And he looks down and he says, "You're the person. You're the man. You're the woman. You're the young person, the child. Thou art the man." Elijah put it this way to a king. He said, "Thou art the one that troubleth Israel." You see, the world wants to blame it on those who are living right. You're the reason for all this upheaval. If you didn't try to live right and you didn't want to teach this word of God, there'd be no problems. All the problems would go away. If you don't tell about sin, then there's no sin. Are you with me? Yeah, if you don't preach it, it's just simply not there. If you don't teach it, it's just simply not there. And here's a man who said, "Oh no, that's not the way it is. Oh king, you're the one who's troubling Israel. You're the man who's doing this." And here's some preachers who were doing that. John the Baptist in the New Testament, he told the king at one time, he said, "Oh, it's not lawful. It's not lawful." You see, the word of God is the law of God. And if you're preaching the law of God, and he was saying to this man, "Hey, no, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." That's what he told him. Well, see, the king didn't want to hear that. It makes this whole world upset. And so the world tries to turn it around and say, "If y'all didn't teach all that good stuff, we wouldn't have a problem. Everybody could just live the way they want to and do everything they want to, and everything would be okay." But that's not the way God intended it, and that's not the way it is. So if we don't claim the Word of God, if we go like the Word of God is unclaimed in our lives, then we're just saying to this old world, "Then you just do what you want to. We'll do what we want to. There'll be no confrontation between good and evil. It'll just all go away." And we know that's not the case. But we have an obligation to claim the Word of God. We have an obligation to claim Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. We have an obligation to claim the way of salvation and a Spirit-filled, separated life. We have the obligation to claim that. Every sinner, every lost sinner will one day be unclaimed. And there won't be any claiming after that. Once they're claimed at that. You see, the devil wants to rob everybody of their life, their very soul. He wants to do that. And a song that Tom used to sing, and I think he sang it a couple times here, "Sorry, I Never Knew You." But that's what happens when he's unclaimed. You'll get to the place to where you say, "Oh, but I did this and I did that. I'm lost as I can be, but I did all these things." He said, "Oh, no. You're an unclaimed person. You can't be claimed. Now you can't choose to be claimed because you chose in your life to be an unclaimed person." I know we don't look at it like that. And the person that you know in your family who is not saved, they wouldn't say, "I want to be unclaimed at the end." In fact, they'll want everything said good at the funeral home to show that they are claimed, that God does love them and he's going to take them on into heaven. Well, that's a lie from hell. It's Satan's lies, and it's going to be that way. So he wants to know, are we going to claim him so that one day that God in heaven who is going to unclaim those who didn't accept his son, they'll never have another opportunity to be claimed. Are we going to do that? Because here's what he's going to do. He tells us that he's going to cast that person into the lake of fire. Now, that's not a symbol. That's not a symbol. That's reality. That's not just something that might be. That's as real as heaven. If you believe that heaven is real, then you got to know that hell is real. And the judgment of God is that they'll be cast into the lake of fire. In fact, the story of the rich man who died, and the Bible says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. Now, no one was responsible for what he did except himself. God didn't want him to go to hell. He doesn't want any of your friends or family to go to hell. But folks, as sure as we're sitting here today, if they don't receive His very Son as the way of their salvation, they will absolutely go to hell. Amen. There's no way of getting out of that. You say, that sounds hard. It hurts for me to hear that. It should hurt. It should hurt. If we care about the souls of our friends and our families, it should hurt that we know that somebody could die and go to hell. And for that person at the end to be unclaimed by God Himself. Well, I can stand before you today and say that I am claimed. I am already claimed. And when I get there, He'll show that He has claimed me. I see it in my life right now. As I get older, I see that He's claimed me. I see that He's claimed me so that He's taken care of me. He is what I need every day of my life. He is the one I claimed, and He is the one who claims me. Folks, it doesn't get any better than the one that you claim claims you. And claims you not just for today, and as we get older, He claims your children. He claims all of your friends and family who are saved. They claimed Him, He claims them. And he said, if you'll claim me, I'll claim you. Isn't that what He said? That's exactly what He said. So we need to claim Him. Now, in the time of death, not just in our everyday life when we, as we get up of a morning, we decide, yeah, we are getting older, and years, weeks and months and years pass by, and before we know it, I got to tell you this. I just tell y'all all sorts of stuff. I need the battery for my car day before yesterday, I guess it was. Can't keep up the days. But anyway, I needed the battery for my car, and I got one of those old cars, and Will, y'all need to check this out. It's one of those old Escapes, and they put the battery under the hood way back next to the dash, right under the steering wheel. Well, you can't get that battery out without tearing the car half apart. Well, I couldn't do that. And the first place I went to, I said, well, you guys will install it, won't you? And they said, no, we won't. We'll let you have it, but we're not installing it. They won't let us get into that. So I decided right then I didn't want that done. So I had to go, and this was by design probably, I had to go to the Ford dealership to get it done. And they'll install your battery for a fee. They will. Yeah, it's all figured out. Well, I had to have a battery. I don't know where I'm going with this story in the first place. But I had to have a battery. I hate this. Y'all were supposed to help me with that, okay? But you chose not to help me. So here I am. It'll come back to me in a minute. Okay? Because what I was saying was, my battery died. Okay, my battery died, and I had to have one. Now, I had claimed the old one for 3 years, and here was where I was going with it. See, it just has to come around, back around. They told me, now, Tom, don't shake your head. You've done this, and you'll do it more. I hate it when old people do that to me. But the guy come out when I went to pick it back up. He said, now, you got 3 years on this. And 6 years limited warranty. We'll prorate it after the 3 years. We'll prorate it. And I'm thinking, at my age, do you know how old I'll be when this battery guarantee is over? If I'm still here? So I just mentioned that. You know, we think we got all the days and weeks and months and years figured out. We don't, folks. But in the time of death, when it comes down time to where your body just can't stand anymore and you've got to go. Do you remember those words that I told you not too long ago? When a person dear to me said, "I'm sorry, I've got to go." There's going to come a time when we're going to say, "I'm sorry, I've got to go." And when that time comes, I'm telling you that the one you claim as your Savior, your Lord, and your Master, He'll claim you. You are claimed. When you face God, when you slip out of this old earth down here and slip on into glory and you face God, I got a feeling you're going to see the reason why this happened. That His Son's going to raise His hands and you'll see the nail-scarred hands and you'll see the pierced feet and the pierced side. And He'll say, "Father, this is one I gave my life for. He's claimed. He's mine. I want to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that I am claimed," don't you? And you can know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're claimed. I just stood and talked to a man just last week who was not sure. He said, "I hope I am." And boy, that just saddened me because I knew that in his own mind he felt unclaimed. He did. To feel like that, you can't feel claimed, because claimed means you've been taken in and you're held and you're protected and you're being taken care of. And he couldn't say that. And I said, "Oh, but let's look into the scriptures." Now, I want you to pray about that, because I've got to go back and talk to him. I want him to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that he's not an unclaimed person, that he is a claimed person, but he has to follow the rules of claimation. I know that's not a word. But if he's going to be claimed in the end day, he's got to claim the one who can claim him then. Unclaimed, not a good word. On any level, it's not a good word. But why today would you not claim him? Because he did everything so that you could. He did. Let's bow our heads. He said, "If you're not ashamed of me, I won't be ashamed of you." Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for this time of decision. And if there is anybody in here today that does not know your precious Son as their Savior, God, I pray that today will be that day. Lord, I pray that everybody can leave here today knowing that they're claimed. And that we have claimed you. And we'll praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.